I just want to share a little story with you as we kind of just move into the final part of the service here. And it's a story that is, in some regards, it's probably one of the most, in some ways, tragic story. I wouldn't say the most tragic story in the Old Testament, but it's definitely one of the most touching on the other end. And it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And if you want to flip there, we're just going to go through it. It's a story about David. And David, at this point in his life, has come through a number of things. Obviously, he's battled through, God calling him out to say, you're going to be the next king. And yet, he went through this whole thing where he wasn't king. Saul was king. And despite a number of opportunities to maybe take that into his own hands and change it, he didn't. And eventually, God delivered him to be the king. And then right away it was turmoil. He had to fight the Saul's descendants who thought they should be king. And then after that he went right into war and he started fighting all these neighboring people who, you know, sometimes that happens. They take advantage of the fact, well, there's a new king. That's a weakness. And all of a sudden we get to chapter 9. And David finds himself in a point in his life where life is kind of quieted down, and he remembers something in the back of his mind. He remembers a really good friend of his named Jonathan. And if you know the story of David and Jonathan, Jonathan was Saul's son, and David and Jonathan were very tight, very close, best of friends. And of course, when Saul kind of turned on David, they became friends in secret, and Jonathan would help David numerous times to kind of escape and just to encourage him as he wandered his way through the mountains and just all the terrible conditions he had to live in. And in those moments, Jonathan, who recognized David's greatness, asked him, he says, you know, David, when you come into your throne, I just have one thing to ask you. Would you look upon my family with kindness? Last week, Jamie mentioned the words and talked about the word hesed in the Old Testament, hesed being God's loving kindness and how he manifests himself in loving kindness. Well, this is the same word that Jonathan used. And when he mentioned that word, I always go to this story. And it starts off like this, as David kind of probably doesn't say this, but has this in the back of his mind. David asked in this first and kind of first ever moment of quiet, he asked, is there anyone remaining from the family of Saul that I can show hesed, that I can show kindness, loving kindness to for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of Saul's family, and his name was Ziba. And they summoned him to David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, yeah, I am your servant. And so the king asked, is there anyone left of Saul's family that I can show the kindness of God to? God's hesed, his loving kindness. Is there anybody left? And Ziba said to the king, well, there is still Jonathan's son, who's injured in both feet. And the king asked him, well, where is he? And the king, and Ziba answered the king, he says, you'll find him in Lodabar, at the house of Michar, son of Ammiel. So King David had him brought before the house of Michar, son of Ammiel, in Lodabar, and his name was Mephibosheth. Try saying that 10 times fast. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, and he fell face down, which was the what you were supposed to do. And he paid homage to David, and David said, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth responded, I am your servant. And now, when you have a new king come in, generally the new king is not really interested, if he comes from a different family line, in showing kindness to the old king's family. Generally, what has happened and what the neighboring countries and people would do would be, of course, to eliminate that family. You don't want that family there. They were once the king of a kingly line, and their whole thought is to get back to a kingly line. And so it's called kind of eliminating those who would want to take your kingdom back from you. And so that would be the normal, regular response. And so when Mephibosheth, I'll get that eventually. My mouth is a little dry. That's probably the problem. Is there, he's on the ground and, of course, probably wondering why David has called him, having in the back of his mind that this is generally what happens. David says to him, don't be afraid. Verse 7, he says, don't be afraid, since I intend to show you not what you would expect. I intend to show you kindness. I intend to show you God's loving kindness. For the sake of your father Jonathan, I will restore to you all of your grandfather Saul's fields, and you will always eat meals at my table, the king's table. The spot that you would have had before under Saul, I am giving you in my house, at my table. And Mephibosheth paid homage and said, what is your servant? Who am I that you would do this for me? He says, what is your servant that you take an interest in a dead dog like me? That's how he thought of himself. That's what he thought it was. And then the king summoned Saul's attendant Ziba and said to him, I have given to you, your master's grandson, all that belonged to Saul and his family. You, Ziba, your sons and your servants are to work the ground for him, and you're to bring in the crops so your master's grandson will have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, is always to eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants, and Ziba said to the king, your servant will do all that my lord the king has commanded. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table, just like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. All those living in Ziba's house were Mephibosheth's servants. However, Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. And then it ends, it says, his feet had been injured. There's an interesting story about Mephibosheth's feet, and you can read about it in chapter 4. And what happened was, when Saul was finally defeated, both Saul and Jonathan were killed, the lady who was looking after Mephibosheth thought that, you know, David was now going to come and he was going to eliminate all of Saul's family. And so she picked him up as 5 years old and went to run out of the house with him and tripped and fell. And in the process, crushing his legs for life. That's the tragic part of the story. And so you have this in a roundabout way, the beginning of David's reign causing this crushing of his feet, to the fact that you come all the way back around to David and showing a kindness that only he knows from God, to bring Mephibosheth to his own table. So why this story is kind of important, there's a lot of different things. But the number one thing, and one thing I want to share with you today, and just the one thing I want to go through, is that this is what we would call a typology, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And it's not that Mephibosheth ever gets his legs healed or anything like that. He remains crippled, but he is at the king's table. And so what we see from David when he begins to show the godly character and the godly understanding of hesed, which is loving kindness, we begin to see a picture of Christ in David in the Old Testament. And why that is important for us is because what we are called to as a people is not necessarily any number of great deeds or big things where we conquer. David conquered a lot of people, but that was not where he was most Christ-like. In the Old Testament, where he was most Christ-like was when he had a moment of quiet, he sat down, he remembered a promise he made, and he showed loving kindness. He was just kind to somebody, to this person, to Mephibosheth. So when you begin to look at the story and you would think of Mephibosheth, if you thought of him as you, or as me, and somebody who on our own could not go through life. In fact, you could think of a crippling of the legs in some way as how sin cripples you and I in our relationship with God. And we see a picture of David's hesed is the same hesed that we see given by God to you, to me, to all of us. And he was mentioned a number of times in the testimonies that we heard. Kindness, God's kindness. And God's kindness shows up in the life of Mephibosheth as it shows up in our lives. We are invited to the table. We are invited to the table as in part in our lives now, but that's only in part. As we move into full healing and the fullness of what God has for us in his hesed, in his loving kindness towards you and me, when we move beyond this life into the life we live with Christ, seated on high, as he is mentioned numerous times earlier. And so I want to just remind you and ask you to read this story, to go and pick it up and say, you know, Jesus, the loving kindness that David showed here is the same loving kindness that God shows for each one of us as he calls us into that relationship with him. I know we have a number of people visiting with us this morning, and I don't know where you're at or where you've come from, but that invitation, God's kindness, is invited for each one of us. It's invited for you. It was invited for our baptismal people this morning, and they accepted that invitation of God's loving kindness. And so as you see, when they come into the tub, it is representative of their old self. God's loving kindness offered to them. They go into the water, which represents going into the grave as God sent his one and only son to go into the grave for you and me. And as they come out, they rise out. It represents Christ rising up out of the grave 3 days later and his loving kindness to spread over each one of us as we accept and we believe in that. And we rise out a new creation. And that's what was portrayed, basically symbolized for us 7 times. So I just want you to know as you leave this place that that invitation is for each and every one of us. And as you take it, if you've accepted that invitation, then you've accepted the loving kindness of Christ, and it is your responsibility to take that loving kindness and to portray it to the world. And so that is the story that we read in 2 Samuel, the story of Mephibosheth. And you could say it 10 times, I want to hear it. But Mephibosheth reminds us of God's loving kindness, and that Christ died for each and every one of us in that same loving kindness. And that is a gift for you and me, and a gift for us to take to our neighbors. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we just take a brief look at your word, again, you can just open this word, and Lord, the truth that comes out of it and what it speaks to us is a depth of your love and your goodness for us. Lord, I pray that your hesed, that loving kindness that you showed us, grows in each one of us and grows out and overflows into the lives of the people that we meet and we run into. Lord, you love us so much. And because you loved us, we love as well. And we just pray this blessing over each and every one of them. I pray again for those getting baptized today, that hesed will flow out of their lives into the lives of others. And Lord, may your name be glorified as it was in David's time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.